Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1293. This is your host, Danny Pena, and I have my beautiful wife here.
Hello.
From What's Good Games, Rihanna Manuel Pena.
Thank you, thank you. Excited to talk some Nintendo stuff with you today.
Yeah, and in the Disney Illusion Island.
And just, well, it's on Switch, so.
It's not, it's Connect, so.
Yeah,
so we'll talk about it. So, very quick, we were planning to record on Sunday,
which was yesterday
for us, but for those that don't know, we were planning to record live. Actually, I was going to record with Pete. We were having issues. Didn't happen. Hopefully we'll, if everything works out, we could do that next week, the next episode. So stay tuned, and I apologize. We haven't done a live show in a while. Summer break. There's nothing really big going on.
It's the calm before the storm when all the games come out.
Exactly. Actually, I was talking to Ree. When was it? Sunday, yesterday. And I was like, let me just wait until Monday. Let's wait until maybe something will pop up, some news that we could talk about it. And look at that.
We certainly got some.
Look at that. This morning, right away, I was like, oh, okay, this is perfect about the next generation console for Nintendo.
So should we just get straight into it?
Yeah, but let me promote, you know, if people want to check out the show and everything. But yeah, everybody, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe. Follow us. And also, more importantly, post a review. I know What's Good Games, you girls always promote that, right?
Yes, we love our reviews. Even if you just leave some stars and then peace out. We appreciate it. It does a lot to help.
It takes a couple seconds. So, we also have a poll that we always have it live every week on Spotify. So for those that are listening through Spotify, you could go and be part of this poll. So you want to hear the question I had for the last week's?
Yeah, I'm curious.
This is a pretty good one. I'm going to look it up right now. Let's see. All right. So the question is that I posted. Are you interested in Sea of Thieves, The Legend of Monkey Island.
Yeah.
I was very curious to see what people have to say about it.
Yeah, we talked about that recently.
Mm-hmm. The last two episodes, because there's a bonus episode that came out after that. But anyways, so 50% said yes. 30.8% said no. And 19.2% said maybe.
That's a good, healthy amount of yeses and maybes.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm very surprised that a lot of people, well, more people say yes. I thought they were going to say maybe or no, but there's people that are still curious to play it, you know? So, yeah. And we had a great time playing it.
Yeah, folks are into Sea of Thieves, Monkey Island, or playing games with your friends, or escape rooms. I would say all of those categories would enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free.
Yeah, and it's free. All right, so very quick, before we go to our discussion about this next-gen console stuff, here's how you can contact us if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussions and questions, comments, feedback. Here you go.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so this morning I woke up. It was actually 6 a.m. Pacific time. For those that don't know, Wario64, he's really known posting all kinds of stuff on Twitter. He's like the breaking news guy. You know, that's how we found out our previous job got shut down thanks to Wario64.
Oh, yeah. I was already gone by them.
But shout out to Wario64. Great guy. I highly recommend for those that use Twitter, make sure to follow him. So he posted VGC sources. So it's like Video Game Chronicles sources. Nintendo targets second half of 2024 with next gen console. Key partners have dev kits ahead of planned launch. Now, a couple of things I want to say that about this ring. Mm-hmm. I think this is real, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Years ago, this is the year that the Nintendo Switch was announced.
What year was that?
Oh my God, was it 2016? I think it was announced. 2017 was the March 2017. That's when it got launched. So in 2016, we went to E3. We got to see the Nintendo Direct, all that stuff. There was no announcements about the console. Nothing. Gamescom happened. No announcements about the console. Then randomly, we saw a video on YouTube mm-hmm. where it was announced Nintendo Switch. And everybody was like, what? What is this? And I was like, wait a minute. Is this kind of like the Wii U? Oh, wait. So you could take this on the go. Not only playing at home, but you could actually take this outside. You know, it went viral. It was a big thing. So that was like maybe around September or October of 2016. Again, no conventions, no conferences, no press conference, nothing like that. Just a YouTube video. Then early 2017, I believe it was like January or so, I remember reordering this. There was a very late press conference live from Japan where Nintendo had a press conference and talked about the console. And they said, pre-orders are live right now. So I pre-order it. Months later, it came out. Huge hit, everything. I think they're going to do the same exact thing for this one.
Interesting.
Yeah, the same exact thing. I think probably by September, October, we see a video announcement. And then we wait. And then they'll announce a live press conference or maybe a direct, who knows. But I think more of like a live press conference where they will show the console, show the partners. It's coming out this day. Pre-order now.
Yeah, I mean, the Switch launch was incredibly successful, so I don't see why they wouldn't take many notes from that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
You're excited? Why are you excited? Why are you excited?
I'm excited because I love the Switch. I personally own a Switch Lite. However, in the house, we have an original Switch and an OLED as well.
Mm-hmm.
We play them often. Most recently I've been playing Pikmin 4 nonstop.
And Disney Illusion Island.
We've been playing together. And we still need to play Pikmin together, by the way.
Yeah, we have to do that.
But I just love Nintendo's games, and they know how to create a really tight experience. I'm not including the most recent Pokemon outing in this, but they know how to make a game that just feels good. It's really, really comprehensive. It maybe could use some work in the whole friend code and talk. And
oh yeah, of course.
Chat departments and all those things. But as far as the games experiences, they're so, so solid, right? You can depend on the fact that if it's a Nintendo game and it's on the Switch, it's going to be great. Like, they don't have flops, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm just really excited to see what they do with better hardware. Like, with the OLED, looks beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. Feels great to play, but I want to know, like, what? How does it look if they increase their SSD? What does it look like if they have some more on-board connectivity so that you can do actual chat rooms and things like that? Like, I want to see them come closer to where we are currently, and I want to say step into the future, but maybe even just catch up to the present with the hardware and that capability, because I know the games would just be that much better.
And not only that, what about all those games that I bought and you bought during the time of the Nintendo Switch lifespan? Can I connect my own account and download on this new console? Like, that's something that Nintendo
not the best they're not track the best. Record.
PlayStation has done it.
Finally.
Xbox have done it, yeah. You know, so, but why not Nintendo? It's like, it's ridiculous that, excuse me, I had to buy like a couple of games. They came out multiple times on the Wii, mm-hmm. Wii U, and on the Switch. And I had to do that because there is no way for me to re-download those games that I purchased before.
Yeah, there's no backwards or forwards compatibility. No. And here's how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you're going to keep buying the games, right? Nintendo can make you do whatever they want to do. like, and we're all simps for Nintendo. And that's kind of just something I've always said, because it's just, we've always proven them right. Right. And they have the, you know, the freedom to do that. It's their choice. But reading further from is it Andy Robinson's article here at VGC that you quoted before. Mm-hmm. They say that other details such as backwards compatibility support for games, physical or digital, remains unclear. However, Nintendo has said it wants to convert as many of Switch's 100 million plus user base as possible to its next system. Mm-hmm. It says, although some third-party publishers are said to have expressed concern with legacy support for Switch games, it could negatively affect their sales of their next-gen titles. So if third-party really wants to see backwards compatibility and forwards compatibility, it may be something that sways Nintendo. But again, their first-party is just first class. Like, there's really no incentive for them to do anything other than what they've been doing. So truthfully, if I had to, you know, put money on it, I would guess they won't mm-hmm. make anything backwards compatible.
And here's an interesting thing. I know, I think it was like a month ago or so, that's when Phil Spencer announced that they made a deal with Nintendo. Once this goes through with Activision Blizzard, the Call of Duty available on Nintendo console. Maybe mm-hmm. we might see an announcement if this goes live, if it's official already by then.
Yeah.
We might see an announcement like, hey, we're going to play Warzone on the new Nintendo console that comes up. And I think that will be really cool. People will get excited. Oh, wait, so it's also crossplay. That's possible, too. I could see that happening. I could see that happening.
Don't know.
Really?
Here's why I say that.
Okay.
You and I have both seen and played both Fortnite and Apex on the Switch, right?
Yes, but we can't compare, though. This is a new console. We don't know what the specs for this console
is. That is 100% true. We do not know the specs. And again, as I said before, I hope they catch up to current gen.
Yeah, please.
But here's the thing about that, though. The game can be on whatever the next Nintendo console is, but I don't know if that means it's the same build or the same experience. And so, if we get a altered version, I'm trying to be kind. If we get a watered down version mm-hmm. that is just simply not as user friendly or fun to play, does that even move the needle?
Or is it easy to port games from PC to the console? Because I think that's very, very important, because not Nintendo, but more of the third party. Is it easy to develop these games, port it to Nintendo? Again, I don't even know the name, but and we're gonna talk about that in a few minutes. But
I was gonna bring that up.
But I think that's important. Like, is it gonna be easy for third party and also especially indie developers to create games on this new console?
I mean, for indies, it seems to be something that a lot of them have figured out, right? We've seen mm-hmm. plenty of indie games released on Switch.
Yeah.
And I don't see that being any different for Nintendo's next outing. But yeah, for the big heavy 100 gig games, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how they're going to do it. I just hope, I think somewhere in the article, it says something that the screen.
They're anticipating the screen will be LCD, not OLED, as a base model.
So they want to keep it cheap.
They want to keep it cheap or save that for a bigger memory or more storage. You know, like, hopefully it comes at the cost of, in favor of more computing power, because that's really what we want to see.
Okay, we both have the Steam Deck.
We do.
Do you want this to be more powerful than the Steam Deck?
I don't think that's possible. Honestly, I don't think it's possible. And we've seen a good amount of these really high-end handhelds come out in the last 6 months even.
Yeah.
And they're all struggling to stay cool enough, to have enough power, to be light enough to do, you know, God of War. And so if we're talking about whatever the next Nintendo console is, I don't think it even needs to try to compete at that level in order to be successful, because their games are just more optimized for their platform than that.
And you know, it's another thing they need to fix. The online service,
the online service, friend codes, voice chat.
They've
gotta figure it out. And here's the thing: they can, like, they have all of the engineering capabilities to do it. I just think it's been so deprioritized for whatever reasons over there that Nintendo will do whatever they want, and we will keep buying their stuff. Like we have given them no incentive to change.
No, I agree.
As the people who constantly buy everything they put out.
I totally agree. And also, please, increase your friend list. This is not no 360 PlayStation 3 era.
Yeah.
Because right now, my friend is completely full. I can't add anybody else. I have to delete people if I want to. I don't know. There's a lot of things that...
You just use Discord instead.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. It's just complicated. But yeah, the voice chat, oh my God, I do not. And I hope to God there's no like mobile app companion in order for you to chat with others and play. I think that was like the most ridiculous thing that I've seen from Nintendo.
I get it as an attempted workaround. It just wasn't very successful.
Terrible. I think it was terrible, terrible. But let's talk about the name.
Let's talk about the name.
I have an issue.
It is very well known that the Wii to the Wii U naming was not a great success. People were confused. Mm-hmm. Parents didn't know what the hell was going on. It seemed like it was just an upgrade to the model. It wasn't. It was a whole new console, and kids didn't understand why they couldn't play the same games. Like, what a flop, right? But the Wii U was still... a success.
Wii U.
The Wii U was still...
Not really. It was pretty bad, the numbers. I had a Wii U.
I had a Wii U.
But it wasn't successful.
No?
No. I tell you why. People got confused, like you were saying.
Well, of course, yeah. I just don't know if Nintendo will learn their lesson.
I mean, look
at the 3DS naming. Look at the 3DS naming convention.
I had a couple conversations today, actually, on Twitter. People were like, nah, they should call Nintendo Switch 2. I'm like, really? What? Why? I don't know. I feel like it should be a different name. Not like 3DS has so many different names. 3DS, the new 3DS.
I'm about to look up all Nintendo console names because half of them are the same.
Yeah. The new, they had also the 2DS. It was just too much. It made sense back in the days with Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64. Like, it made a lot of sense. Wii and Wii U, no way.
It's so bad.
It's bad. It's bad. So another thing I want to mention, I had one of my cousins, Cheese.
Yeah, Lisa.
Lisa. So she went to the store and bought Mario Kart Wii U. Her son only had the Wii.
Yeah. Because the branding looked the same.
Yeah.
The coloring and the boxes looked the same.
She sent me a text. Hey, Danny, I bought the new Mario Kart. Can't wait to play this on the Wii. I'm like, no, that game doesn't work on the Wii U. So that's the problem. Like, how... And look, you've been doing marketing for years.
Well, yeah.
How Nintendo's going to manage to do that? Like, so people don't get confused. Are they going to just keep the Switch name because it's so popular? But at the same time, people are going to think, oh, wait. The hardcore fans know. They know. But I'm talking about, like, the casual...
The person who's just browsing the store.
Yeah. Oh, this is the same... Switch, just a little bit better. I don't know.
How do they do it? Come up with a new name. Like it's that simple.
Yeah, I don't know how
it can't
call it.
Be Switch anything. Like, it can't be this like 2DS, 2DS XL, 2DS LA, like 3DS, new 3DS. Like, it can't be this anymore.
It can't.
Like people will eventually understand it, but you would have lost their attention by the time they do. And, you know, with marketing, with honestly any kind of content these days, you have about 2 seconds where people are paying attention to something you're saying and then they've moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not clear in 2 seconds, if you have to explain longer than that, it's not going to be great.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to do it. So you're looking at a list. What's up with this list?
I just pulled up. I just Googled Nintendo DS console name.
So there's a bunch, right? It's the same. There's a bunch of the same ones.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Oh, Lord.
So, like, with Game Boy, they had multiple Game Boys.
Okay, there was the Game Boy, the Game Boy Pocket, the Game Boy Light, the Game Boy Color, the Game Boy Advance, the Game Boy Advance SP, and the Game Boy Micro.
No, they can't do that. This is 2023. They can't do that.
And, I mean, that was a lesson they should have learned back then. They did the same thing with the DS family, as we just said, and then more recently with the Wii U. Like, we have DS, DS Lite, DSi, DSi XL.
That's so much.
And this is before they had the 3DS, 2DS, 2DS XL, 3DS. Like it, they just didn't, haven't learned the lesson. Now, the Switch and the Switch Lite had the same issue.
But, to see,
but they can play the same games.
Here's the tricky part, that a lot of these companies, they've always been doing, they've been doing this for years. But, for example, Xbox had multiple different versions of the Xbox 360, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with Xbox One. Yeah. PlayStation did that with PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4 Slim. Like, they had different, the Pro.
But again, all played the same disc.
The same game. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, of course. But what they did is they unite all the sales for all those consoles and they put it as to one SKU.
Of course.
So the numbers could be really, really high. I mean, look, every company has done it.
I get the business side of it, 100%.
Every company has done it.
If you call it the Switch Lite-er or whatever the
Lite-er?
Name, whatever the name that they're thinking of is, it's just going to lose people again. Because, like,
they tried to do it with the Wii in the Wii U, and it just didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work. I just can't see. Look, I might be wrong. They might call this Nintendo Switch 2.
I'm not saying they won't do it. I'm just saying it'll be a bad idea if they do. Now, and here's the next question that I have, because the Switch, of course, with the classic snap sound that we heard every time they have their marketing, which is very cute. I enjoy the snap sound a lot.
Are they going to go twice?
well, here's my question.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a dock and an on-the-go console? Because that is the whole reason for the name Switch. Because it's, you could do both.
Yeah.
You can play it out of home or you can play it plugged in. And that is, like, inherently tied to why they call it the Switch. Mm-hmm. Now, the Switch Lite is a little bit misleading because you can't switch a Switch Lite. It doesn't,
no, it's just,
it doesn't,
it's a
natively
handheld.
Dock,
it's
right?
It's just a handheld.
You can jerry-rig something to dock it, but it's not meant to.
Well, this one, according to the leaks, it's similar to the Switch. It has both.
So we may be looking at another Switch.
But the name, is it going to be Switch? I hope it's not no Switch Pro.
Because then you have a Switch Pro and a Switch OLED, which is very confusing because we've been calling the OLED a Pro before we knew it was the OLED.
That's going to be.
Think about it.
Are they going to call it Part 2, Switch 2?
The Switcher.
The Switcher. I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Look, I think that would be the perfect poll.
What do you want to see the sequel to the Switch called?
So the question I have for you listeners right now, go to Spotify once you listen to this episode, please vote. I'm very curious. Should this console be called Nintendo Switch 2?
No.
Nintendo Switch Pro?
No.
Or different name?
Different name.
We'll see. That's you vote.
That's my vote.
That's going to be your vote. Again, Nintendo Switch 2, Nintendo Switch Pro, different name.
All right.
And I'm very curious to hear what people have to say about it, because I just don't agree. I'm voting for a different name.
I will say, of those options, the Switch 2 is easier to understand than Wii to Wii U. Because Wii to Wii U, like, nobody knows what the U means, right?
That is true.
Like, but Switch 2 does sound like a sequel, right? We're used to that naming convention for sequels. Something separate, something different. I do think if they put a number behind it, it could help, but it's still like, come on.
What about Nintendo Super Switch? I mean, look.
They went from Xbox 360 to Xbox One.
That was very confusing.
And
too.
Nobody liked that either. So, yeah.
I mean, look.
They're going to do what they want to do.
Look, I remember when Apple announced the iPad, a lot of people were making fun of that. And I think there was a comedy show that predicted the name of that, because this is during the time
it
the
was
iPod.
Everything.
The iPod was already out.
So iPhone.
They were like, iPad, and it was big, and I was like, all right. So,
and they're still calling it iMac at that point too, right?
Yeah, that's. I mean, now it's MacBook, you know, but
yeah, people have dropped the I in front of Mac.
Yeah, it was in living. I think it wasn't living. No, it wasn't Living Color. Was it Mad?
Mad TV?
Mad TV, I think, were the ones that said iPads. There's a video on
YouTube. We're showing
YouTube.
Our age right now.
It's all good. It's all good. But it's part of it. But okay, so we agreed.
Yeah.
Now, price. Before we go to the next one. Now, because how much, what the Switch was two.
You want me to look it up?
I think it was $3.99. No, wait, was it $3.99 or $2.99? I can't remember because I bought it day one. I went to the store. Price. Midnight.
It was $2.99.
When it launched. Okay, $2.99.99. So the PlayStation 4 was $3.99 at that time, Dan. Because I know the Xbox One was more expensive. So, okay, $2.99. Now, if they're doing this screen to have this console
cheap. The OLED
cheap,
was $3.49. For
$3.49. Yeah. I think they want to keep it again $2.99 to make that money.
This is the new $300 one.
Or it might be $3.49. If, and this is the big if this console has more storage and the specs is even way more than the Switch.
Well, they have to beat the OLED at this point.
They have to.
Yeah.
And maybe close to the Steam Deck, the cheap version. I mean, look, we don't know. Nintendo's known to do things very, very cheap so they could keep the price very, very low. So I don't know how they're going to pull this off. I really don't know.
What do you think the price will be?
I think it's going to be $349.
Why?
Because storage is going to be way more than what we have now. If Nintendo wants to have more third-party support and more adult, mature content for the Switch, I think it is time for them to upgrade to make it more powerful than the previous console. They can't just make it, okay, it's cheaper, more storage, and that's it. It has to be more powerful than the Switch. It has to be.
I'm not sure that I'm mentally prepared to get into a talk about what kind of content plan I think they have, because yes, their audience is growing up, but their audience is also brand new every day.
Of course, look at the movie. The movie blew up.
With the rise of the new quote-unquote genre of cozy games, which is, you know, there's been cozy games forever. We just now know what to call them. And there's entire channels and outlets dedicated to those types of games, and they thrive on Switch content. I don't know if they need to grow up right now.
It's not grow up. And I said that wrong. What I was trying to say is there's a lot of games that came out for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox.
Yes.
And it's not available on the Switch.
Right, of course.
For different reasons. One, it could be because specs, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, look at CD Projekt Red. They released The Witcher 3 on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have more hours on that than the Xbox and the PC version.
Really?
I have way more hours on that. And it had also both expansions all in one game. So that's one. Maybe we might see Cyberpunk on this. There's different things that they could add. What about the Dead Space remake? Are we going to see that on the Switch? Call of Duty. There's so many games that's not available on the Switch.
Yeah, they have.
But this could be the opportunity.
A lot of potential for expanding their library.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to say. Just games that needs more power.
I hear you. I have a hard time thinking they're going to go over 300, honestly. I know $349 would give them $10 under the lowest tier console for Steam Deck, if we're using that as sort of a comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, I'll tell you something, but go ahead.
So I would put it, I'm putting my analyst hat on, I'd say maybe like $329
for the new Switch. $329.
Yeah.
Usually it's always 49, like the 50.
They like an even 50.
Every company.
I understand.
Yeah.
But that's just where I would put it right now.
Here's the thing. Nintendo could announce a brand new console, $349, and people are still going to buy it. They don't care.
They can announce it for $600 and people would buy it.
But here's the thing. People are not going to care that it's more expensive than the Xbox Series S.
No, they won't. They're
still going to buy it. They're like, oh, it's Nintendo, new Mario, new whatever.
It's Nintendo. That's the thing. It's a Nintendo games machine.
Here's the thing. Metroid Prime 4 could be one of the launch titles or the launch window for that, you know, for that console.
Yeah,
you know?
It comes out over the summer and then they launch that on holiday.
Yeah, genius. Or we might see a new Mario Kart.
Well, yeah, we've had some pretty steady updates for 8.
Yeah, but it's an old game. That's from the Wii U. They've just been adding more updates.
I mean, they've been doing good with the updates.
Of course. But imagine they announce...
Or a new Smash.
Too soon. I think I could
see. I know, that's just wishful thinking.
I think I could see a Mario Kart.
A cart.
I could see a Mario Kart 9.
Maybe a new Luigi game.
Oh my God. The crowd will go nuts. If there's a new Mario Kart for launch,
yeah,
nuts. People will go crazy.
Yeah.
That's possible.
They would.
Yeah. And Nintendo could put it off. All right. So let's talk about Disney Illusion Island.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Before we wrap this up, I really enjoy the game. I like playing with you. Because look, there's not a lot of games that we play together co-op.
Like on the couch, yeah.
I think Jackbox, I can think that's like the only one. Everything else, if you just play separately online,
yeah.
You're in your console. Party, yep. Yeah. Yeah, so for those who don't know, Disney Illusion Island, this is an exclusive game for Nintendo Switch.
From Delala Studios.
Delala Studios. This is the same studio that worked on Battletoads, which I love Battletoads.
Mm-hmm. It has a lot of similarities to that with the art style and the humor and things like that.
Yeah, and the video that they have during the game.
Cutscenes,
amazing, funny, great voice acting, everything. So, we got a copy of the game early. We played it. There's four characters you could choose. There's Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Donald, and Goofy. Everybody, each character does the same kind of thing, but it's different type of powers, different weapons. Kind of similar.
So they all have the same moveset. And to be clear, there's no combat in this game.
There is kind of combat.
Well, it's all traversal, right? Like there's no, you don't get guns or whatever.
No.
So, let's say you get a double jump. Mickey's double jump was, do you remember?
Just him jumping.
And I think it was like a paper airplane and he jumped off of it or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And then Minnie's double jump, I can't even remember what it was. Maybe she like has a rocket that she rides a little bit. And so each of them have a different animation, but it's the same movement path. So none of the characters have any advantage or disadvantage over the others. Like if you choose one, it'll be able to reach the same areas and accomplish the same tasks as any other.
Yeah, people were saying, hey, is this like a Metroidvania? Yes. Some might say, oh my God, like Ori, kind of.
I would say it's very much a Metroidvania. Mm-hmm. The Ozzy Mejia, who guested on What's Good Games with us this past week, put it with the perfect phrase, and he called it like baby's first Metroidvania.
Yes.
Like it's a Metroidvania, but it's very simple. It gives you lots of information on like what is behind each unreachable area. Mm-hmm. It tells you like how you need to get there. So before you get a power up or a different move, let's say you don't have double jump yet, you'll see a purple sign on your map that shows you, oh, I don't have the power yet to get to this area. Mm-hmm. So you're not banging your head against a wall trying to like outsmart the level design and get to something that you're not supposed to reach. You just straight up can't reach it. And it tells you that. So you're not wasting time.
Yeah. And there's boss battles.
There are great boss battles.
Yeah. The one that we did together for the first time, I really enjoyed. I was like, okay, this is good. I mean, again, it was only two players. I didn't play solo. We didn't play four players or three players. It was just two the whole time. But like, there's games in the past where I'm afraid to have too many players on the same screen because player one is the one that's moving the camera. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel like it was like a struggle for us.
No.
If the camera's ahead. There was one part where I was a little bit ahead and I don't know if you weren't paying attention. You were trying to do something.
I think I was probably looking at your character by mistake. Yeah.
But your character, it did like this special thing on the screen and it went towards right next to me or close to me.
Yeah, so you turn into a little envelope for a couple seconds. It's basically warning you like, hey, get back to the same screen. Mm-hmm. And if you wait that timer out, turns you into a paper airplane and you fly back to player one.
Yeah, it's fun. I know people might say, oh, Disney's probably easy.
It is.
It is easy, but
still fun.
It's fun. Like we had a blast playing it. And I want to play this with four players. You know, imagine with, you know, your mom, dad, like it would be dope to play that online, you know, or friends to come over there, let's play some, you know, Nintendo Switch, Disney Illusion Island, you know.
And there's some really, really cute and wholesome things about this game. Like the cutscenes are laugh out loud funny. Like I was laughing at one, I don't want to spoil it, but there's one at the very beginning where you're speaking with some of the natives in this land that you're traversing. And the natives are clearly a little bit more intelligent than Goofy. And so they're like, he doesn't get it. Like, is he still confused? Like, it becomes a really fun meta joke about him always wanting to figure out where the picnic is. But there's a lot of really great humor. Each of the characters have really special moments. Even when your NPC that you meet that upgrades your move sets is handing out new moves, it's constantly ragging on Donald Duck and giving him the worst kind of, like, he gets a toilet plunger in order to stick to walls.
Donald's, but why?
He's like, why? Like, oh yeah, I guess you're going to give me some crappy moves. He is like, yeah, here you go. It's a toilet plunger. No, so there's some really cute, funny things in there. And then there's this really sweet moves. Like, again, neither Danny nor I have played single player, but when we played together, you can hug another player to give an extra bonus heart to each other, and it gives you more health. And like, there's just some sweet things about the way that they put the design together. And for people who are like super fans of Disney, especially, there's even like mechanics where you can locate hidden Mickeys in the level and interact with them. So there's just like a lot of really cool, fun things in it. Music is great. Our animation is beautiful.
Love the music.
And the voice acting is really good. Like, there's really just nothing to say that's bad about this game, unless you just really want a Dark Souls-like challenge. That's not this game, even if you play on hard mode when you have less hearts to get you through the levels.
Yeah.
But if you want something that's like fun, traverse the world, uncover some stuff, like double back, try your luck against these bosses with the mostly platforming mechanics to beat the bosses, it's a good time.
You know, the music remind me of Ori, depending when you're okay. I don't know if
that's,
you remember,
high praise. It's one of the best soundtracks of all time.
No, but this is what I'm saying. Like, no, the music is fantastic on this game. But the reason why I compare it to Ori is, depending on the location that you go, the music smoothly would change to that new music. Sometimes we didn't even notice it was like a new music. I'm like, wait a minute, what? Like, it's so smooth, like the way it goes from like one area to the next.
Yeah.
Yo, smooth. I loved it.
Yeah. And the different worlds have fun themes. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite so far has been the world where like you can see like inventions and like school supplies and stuff. Like there's a tape measure that moves in and out and you have to jump off of it and it's the size of a bridge or whatever. Like it's some really cool effects in there.
And there's like an area too where you could heal up. Saves has been great. No issues with that. It's just been super easy.
Really smooth.
Very, very smooth. And we had no
technical issues at all.
Zero.
Again,
zero.
Solid game.
Solid game. So, yeah, I highly recommend it for you.
Yeah, I would say it's a must play if you enjoy games, especially if you want to play something with a family.
Yeah, I think this is the perfect game to play with your partner.
Yeah.
And your kids or
it's
the whole family.
It's non-frustrating co-op. I think it's important to say that as well. Like, this is not an Overcooked or a Stuck Together or whatever. Like, this is one of those games where you can play and you're not going to, like, end up wanting to strangle one another for not get moving at the same pace.
This is not an old Cuphead.
No.
This is not an old Cuphead. So
not at all.
Yeah. Highly recommend it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gamer Tag Radio 1293. Bree, you have anything before? First of all, thank you so much. I know we've been having you here a lot.
I like being on the show.
I appreciate that. And people like our conversation.
I hope so.
We should just launch our own podcast too.
That's a new poll. Should we launch our own podcast?
Should we launch our own podcast? Yeah.
I really enjoy being on the show. And I want to say thank you to the Gamer Tag Radio audience for being so welcoming. I know, you know, I'm just Danny's wife who jumps on and rants about games, even though I have been in the industry as long as you. I'm not as knowledgeable as you in Paris.
You know what's up. You know what's up.
Yeah, I really appreciate that folks are receptive to what I have to say. So thank you all for listening and for being encouraging. That means a lot to me.
Yeah. And no, honestly, everyone, thank you for still listening. Here's the thing. It's the schedule for everybody has been kind of tricky, but
it's hard over the summer.
It's hard over the summer. P is on the other side of the world. Paris been traveling a lot. I've been doing like tons of stuff. Plus, we're expecting our baby like this year. It's like a lot of it's a lot of stuff going on. But I try my best, or even the guys try our best to record something, release it. You know, there's a couple of stuff that I have lined up that I already recorded a few months back that I'm not allowed to show it yet, but it's coming very soon.
Yeah, there's lots of games coverage to come. Don't worry.
There's a lot. There's stuff that's coming. Trust me when I say this. It's going to be a great, great year content. So stay tuned.
Very packed year.
Yeah. Yep. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Gamer Tag Radio episode 1293. We'll be back next week with more content. Be on the lookout. Follow me on Twitter, Godfrey, or sorry, X, Follow me.
Please don't say X. Oh my God.
Follow me there, Godfrey. And Ree, you want to promote your socials?
Sure. You can find me. It still works. Twitter.com/RihannaTweetsNow. That's RIANA tweets now. I'm on Threads now as I'm on Threads as Rihanna Grams now. It's so confusing because I couldn't make my own separate Threads name.
Yeah.
And my branding is, of course, my name, then the platform action, then now.
No.
So on Instagram, I'm Rihanna Grams now. And now on Threads, I'm Rihanna Grams now, not Rihanna Threads now.
It's all good.
Unfortunately.
It's all good.
But yeah, if you want to follow me over there, I do post different stuff on different platforms occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see everything that Dan and I are up to, then I would suggest following multiple places. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm not on Twitter as often as I used to be. So I would say follow me on Instagram. It's probably the better way to go.
Hey, look, I'm always on Twitter.
Yeah, all day.
Or X.
God.
All right, Wen, we're out. Take care. Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.